Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no. It isn't the breeze. It's Jackson time. La da da da.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. We are here with another episode of The Jack Benny Show. This is actually his premiere from his sixth season of The Jack Benny Show. We've made it up to the sixth season, which is pretty cool that we've talked about all the shows from the fifth season back to the first season already. We've only done this for a year. We're in our second year of doing this, but I've really enjoyed these, and we'll just keep on going. This one is a trip to Dennis's house. We get to see Dennis's mom, which is, I love spending time with Verna Felton doing this. It's fantastic. And just a great episode. We have today joining us, we have, of course, our friend John Henderson. Hey, John.
Oh.
Hey, John. And I like that he's in his winter attire. We are in that winter season. You can see I've got my beard going, and so I'm looking more and more like John every day. I don't know. And then we have Kathy Fuller Seely. Kathy, how's things going in your neck of the woods?
Classes are over. Students are turning in papers. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and the third volume is at the printer. So yay, of the Benny script.
And we have a week and a half left over at my school, so that'll be fun. And I love Christmas time at this school. It's just so neat. And next week is one of those spirit weeks where Monday is pajama day and everything, and that's always fun. So anyway, Kathy, do we have any more firm date on when the new book's coming out, or is it just in the next few weeks?
No, it won't be, unfortunately. Sometime, you know, maybe in the new year, you know.
Okay, so it's starting to head towards January, maybe.
Probably. Yeah. You know, because shipping gets messed up, you know, so overloaded during the holidays. But soon, soon.
That's great that we're getting it. Now, I would, you know, pass on to Ben that I think, if he could get these released, say, in September-ish time frame or even October-ish, I think the amount of sales would go up tremendously, because they're great gifts to buy a Benny fan. And Benny fans usually are at an age where it's really hard to figure out what to get them. Like my kids and my wife, I mean, I would for sure be putting this on my Christmas list if I could. So
it's totally my fault. I had to sit on the manuscript for about six weeks because of all the things I was doing this semester at school. So mea culpa.
But maybe even get it next time, start it in the spring or something, so you get it done on time. Who knows? Just a thought.
Well, it's perfect timing for my birthday, so I'm happy.
I'm always trying to sell more of Kathy's books if I can. So. And all of you folks, get it as a late Christmas present in January.
or for Benny's birthday, because I'm sure many people celebrate that. So.
Oh, I will tell our watchers and listeners what my family does for me sometimes when something comes out too late to get it to me or whatever. What you can do, because we do know on Facebook she has had pictures of her, of the newest volume out there, you can take that, print off the picture, and what my brother-in-law does is he puts it on like a package of Dots candies or Milk Duds or whatever, and he has, so he'll have the picture of what you're getting, but you're also getting something to munch on in between while you're waiting for that item to come a month down the road or whatever. And I always think that's a cool double gift that you get, so there you go. And also then you can fit it in someone's stocking. See, well, you couldn't fit her book into someone's stocking if you had the real book, so there you go. All right, onward and upward. So, John, what were your thoughts on this episode? What stood out to you or anything? So,
I thought it was a great episode, especially as a Jack Benny radio fan.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things that pay off if you're a fan of the radio show, even seeing Dennis Day and in particular his mother, because she's, you know, she's got that distinctive personality and she totally fits that in her look as well in this episode. So I thought it was great. I loved the Rochester stuff that his running around and how that pays off. I thought that was lots of fun. So yeah, I just enjoyed the episode.
Fantastic. Yeah. Just like you say, I really, really like these episodes where they tie so well into the radio years and remind you of the radio years, because we're come at this as such radio show fans that whenever they can do that on a TV show, it really likes it. And that's why I like the early episodes, early seasons of the Jack Benny show. One, because he was still doing the radio show at the same time, and sometimes they would actually refer to the radio show and vice versa, which was fun. And as I think about it, this season five is the last season of the radio show, where the radio show is going on at the same time. Season six, this one we're going into as of this episode, the radio show would have just gone off the air, right? So, because this is 65, 66, I think, or whatever, right?
55.
That's right. Good job correcting me there, John. See, John, he's right on the tip of knowing all these things, and he does a good job of not rubbing in my face and things. He just sort of tells me when I mess something up, and it's lovely. Whereas if John was ever wrong, boy, I would be running. Anyway, Kathy, what were your thoughts on this one?
Well, I was really impressed by the pacing and the loudness. This was a live episode.
Yes.
Television was prioritizing a live television for their big events to make it must-see TV. And the other ones we've been talking about recently have been kind of slower and more quiet in pace. And so it was fascinating to see them go back to what was popular on other shows. I mean, both This Is a Wonderful Loud radio show on television, but it also is right up there with what Sid Caesar, Martin and Lewis, other sort of loud running around comedians were doing. So I found it very amusing for Jack and his, Jack and his company to go, you want loud, you want slapstick, you want,
we can do that.
We can do it. So.
Well, what I like is just for us, and as an audience, you're going to see them back to back as well, now that I think about it, but we're recording this live show, which is the season opener, and then we're recording the very next episode, which is a filmed episode. And to get those two back to back, and so we can compare them and things, is pretty cool in that they're so different, the film version versus the live. And the films seem so much older in some ways than the lives. And and as we're going through, I mean, it's partially the look, but it's also the way they're directed, the way that they do things is just a whole different thing. It's what live shows were like back in the 50s, whereas the filmed episodes are like filmed episodes were of the I Love Lucy show or Jack Benny show, but really it's what filmed shows of Happy Days were like, or filmed shows of various sitcoms we've seen through time. And so somehow they seem more congruent with what we think of as standard comedy television, the Norman Lear, all of those things are kind of in the filmed shows. But that to me makes kind of why we get a little more excited sometimes about these live shows, because they're just so different than we're used to seeing. And they're so much fun, and they're so bombastic, and they're
And yet, as I said, the curious qualities of this one, Dennis's song, The Yellow Rose of Texas, is, that's more of a Broadway or popular classic. He's not going, Cry or something that's top of the charts. He's not singing Elvis. But the fact that they have him come down from the stage and stand in front of the audience where you're seeing the audience head was, instead of a big spectacle, which was, and it's a perfect way of being in front of the curtain in that old vaudeville way, but it's just, it's intimate, so we're mixing sort of loud and television-y with all these other references to the sort of intimacy of radio. It's a great mix that I'm sure would have pleased longtime Benny fans, but also in a way have interested those who said TV must be different.
Well, John, what are your thoughts? I mean, because it seems like Kathy and I bring up a lot about the live versus filmed episodes, and John's always sitting there quietly, like because we already covered that ground, so he doesn't need, you know, I know John's thinking, okay, we already talked about that, but I'm just going, let's get John's point of view on that. What are your thoughts? Because we're 6 seasons in, we've seen live, we've seen filmed, especially the last couple seasons, we've got a lot more filmed episodes thrown in, maybe half the time now or whatever.
Right.
So, and I know that originally you talked about how the live episodes just have that more spontaneous feel and yeah, don't use the canned laughter necessarily that the filmed ones do. How's it going now when you're seeing these back and forth? I think they're fine tuning the filmed ones a little more lately, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I would say one of the big problems is so many of the filmed episodes are repeats of live episodes. And I feel like when they repeat an episode, it loses a bit of the spark, right?
Yes.
They're like, oh, well, I know how to do this. I've done this before. So some of the performances are not as good, in my opinion. I think some of that has to do with the fact that they've done it before, because there's some of the filmed episodes that I don't think they've done before, and those tend to be a little bit better. And I also feel like the later on you get in the Jack Benny show, the less care is put into it, because they've got so many more that they're putting out.
Right.
And so, you know, some of them feel like a little bit thrown together. So for that reason, I would say I do tend to like the live better, but of course the picture quality is so much better on the filmed episode that if you were to show it to somebody else, for example, you would want to go with a filmed episode, because they, you know, they would just be like, oh, what is this? Oh, well, I can't watch this.
Yeah. For instance, the number one episode that I think most people get introduced to on the Jack Benny show is the Christmas episode, where he goes Christmas shopping. Right. And, I think that transfers so well to audiences getting it. People still go shopping. All of those things still happen. And so it works just beautifully. And I think it almost works better today than it even did back in the day, because we've seen people kind of slowly go crazy and get overwhelmed with just modern things going on. We've seen road rage and all these things in a bad way. In this way, it's portrayed in a humorous way. But I do think that part works better, but being as we're now surrounded with real life violence so often that happens from these people losing it and things, that I think the end of that episode where Mel Blanc shoots himself off camera, is more disturbing maybe than it used to be. I think it's not as humorous. And so it makes it really that a strange episode. It's like it's great all the way through. And then at the end, sometimes it'll throw a modern audience when you show that, and you'll have to explain, well, in the time this was more acceptable and things. So you would never see a show do that now, I wouldn't believe, unless it's a really dark, dark comedy of some sort. But I always think that episode is particularly interesting just because it juxtaposes the best episode ever for introducing people to Jack Benny, and yet the ending taken away from some of that. So I don't know. And it would be interesting to see if they ever did like colorize it and bring it to a modern audience, would they just cut out that last part? Would he just kind of walk away? Like he's freaking out and he's leaving the store, like he's quitting or something. And then they just don't play the part where you hear him shoot himself. I would assume that's what they would do. I don't know, but I don't know. So does that sound in the right ballpark, John, to you?
Yeah totally. Totally. Yeah. Speaking of times changing, this episode, I always enjoy the Lucky Strike commercials. And this one has a fun cartoon episode. I learned that the best place to enjoy a Lucky is a hansom cab. I guess I just thought that was a weird choice. But I also wanted to mention, you know, I mentioned that I'm a fan of the radio show. So there's a couple of references that people who are not, you know, very familiar with the radio show wouldn't get. They reference Kenny Baker, who was sort of the original Dennis Day before Dennis Day.
Yep.
And Frank Parker, who's even older than that. He's from like the early seasons. And Phil Harris, who was the original band leader. He was famous for drinking and that sort of wild activity. And so there's this this scene with Don Wilson in this episode, and I'm like, this sounds very familiar. And there's a joke that they do with Phil Harris, actually.
That is so funny. That is so, John is so right on with that, I must say. There's this joke with Phil Harris where...
Well, that's the basis of the joke on the television episode, that somehow the three of them complain. And yes. Poop. So.
John. Well, that made me think when he was talking about all the tenors and stuff, because I'm sure John will be back here in a minute, but it made me think of the 40th of Jack's 40th birthday party where they come back. I'm trying to remember, because there's three tenors in that that come, and so that's it. Does Kenny come back for that?
Because I don't think it's not Kenny, but it's the fella in World War II who wasn't.
Yeah. Okay, that's what it is. It's Dennis and then Frank Parker, then it's Larry Stevens.
Larry.
There we go. It's those three. And at the time I was going, oh man, it's too bad they couldn't get Kenny to come back and do this for this one special. But I don't know what was going on with Kenny at the time. But he, But that is such a cool show to watch, that 40th anniversary, that 40th birthday party of Jack.
Yeah. Because
Phil's back and everything, and then but the only downer on the whole thing is you've got Rochester that had a heart attack or something.
Heart attack, like the day before.
So his part gets taken over by Andy Devine, and Andy Devine does a great job. It just seems strange that he's saying things that Rochester would say and things, but they made the best of what they could, because I'm sure they had this whole thing planned out. It's all these people are coming back. They can't just sort of go, because Rochester, something happened, we have to cancel the whole thing. I think they just had to, the show must go on, I guess, is the whole thing. Kathy, why don't, if, to see if we end up getting John back, if we don't, but why don't you go ahead and read us, you have a review, and maybe you can talk about that.
Well, super. As I said, hooray, I hope he's back. Because this was the first episode of the fall season, that is, back in the day, a variety only only reviewed season openers. Right. Although we've had a number of Jack Benny reviews, because he was only on every other week, and that made his show seem more special. But so they did review this show as the first one of the season, but we only get a little hint in the version we have of the context of what was actually going on, which was that the President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, had a very serious heart attack. And all of America was glued to the television, was having to be the news reporter to the country, and everybody was quite concerned about it. And so it turns out in this review, talks about the fact that viewers of it live during the day, I mean, during the evening when it was broadcast, missed certain parts of the episode because there were voiceover special update messages about the president's health. So it's worth reading. So I'm going to read it to you. So the review says, the intense national concern with the health of President Eisenhower was justification enough for the CBS decision to interrupt all programs Sunday night with frequent medical bulletins. It was, however, a tough break for Jack Benny's premiere show of the new season. At least 5 minutes was sliced off the start of the stanza, which means episode, by a special news report from Denver, and then again midway, another bulletin, shorter than the first but giving exactly the same information, broke into the show. The bulletins broke up the continuity of the session and played havoc with the mood, since it would take a schizoid viewer to shift back and forth between the solemn news and the Benny gags without grinding the gears. I love variety lingo. Discounting this tremendous handicap, Benny launched the new series with a good, although routine, comedy session. The quartet of scripters came up with skits and snappers that were funny but familiar, and the whole show bore the stamp of routine professional competence. Yikes, I hate to be accused of routine professional competence. Once again, it could have been the pall of Ike's condition that laid over the show. Benny evidently was not informed of the opening news bulletin, and so played the first 5 minutes strictly for the benefit of the studio audience. And we do have the whole show. Yeah. So obviously the kinescope camera was just capturing that live event, and here's the network on other stations inputting those bulletins. Home viewers picked up the show in the middle of a chatter routine between Benny and Dennis Day, and the script, due primarily to the fact that it was working over old material, quickly established that Benny was again the penny-pinching boss and Day the yokel character with Irish tenor pipes. Benny's now legendary timing in his gag delivery was, of course, on the button, and he got the most of appearing to do very little. A sketch with Eddie Anderson, once again playing the Frank-talking, work-dodging valet, was okay and involved a delayed gag about a telephone quiz show. The punchline, unfortunately, was telegraphed way in advance. One of the best things of the session was the integration of the cigarette commercials in a routine between Benny and Don Wilson. Now, that's cut, right? We don't have those commercials. Shots. The message was clearly accented, but the format was humorous and palatable. Final comedy sequence was another strong bit framed around a visit to Day's home. It was broad comedy, played vigorously, and it paid off with solid impact. Benny closed the show by wishing Ike a quick recovery. So, as I said, if we only had this this kinescope, we wouldn't know what viewers in November September 1955 were worrying about.
Well, that's so interesting because it paints like three different versions of this episode that I'd like to see, because there's this one we watched. Then seeing that one where you've talked about the commercial with Jack and Don talking back and forth and things would be interesting. Usually the commercials are left in these ones, these kinescopes, so I'm surprised that's not there. And then seeing one as the audience saw it at the time with the break-ins for Eisenhower updates would be really interesting to see as well. But the only way someone would get that is probably if somebody had taped it off of their TV somehow, right, or whatever. And back then, like, that technology
didn't have that equipment.
Really
exist. So,
it
does bring up a good point of the sort of how what we can't know about early television. As we have talked before, I would dearly like for us to somehow represent others of the live episodes for which we don't now have access. I'd love for us to go back and read parts of scripts and try and recreate a little bit or comment on it, because there's these, you know, we find out that there's huge things that get referenced later. You know, it could be great fun, but just as you have cautioned, we can never completely recreate all that would be happening in a live show. We don't know the timing, the expressions. I mean, we can build on what Benny always does, but it's like, we can't quite know.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, in the Eisenhower Library, if they had those 5-minute pieces of news that were talking about his heart attack. And a person could theoretically, if you had access to those, kind of recreate and overlay that on here and cut out the beginning of the show and have what it would seem like, right? You could essentially create that falsely that version, right? It would be as close as you could get to it, sort of thing. But that's for another day. Anyway, John was in the last time he was here. John was in the middle of telling us about, I think he was at Phil Harris. I'm not sure. This is
John Wilson.
What I like about this is it's very much like Jack's joke that he does all the time, which is something comes in the middle of his joke or the middle of his story. And then he goes on with the story after whatever pandemonium ensued. And no one remembers what the first part was. But in this case, maybe John can kind of summarize what he was making. Yeah, exactly.
Don Wilson is complaining about being made fun of for being fat. And he says, the only reason I'm fat is for the sake of the show. You know, it's I gained weight, you know, for that. And then Phil Harris says, and look what you've done to me. You think I like to drink? Now that is funny. In this episode, they try to recreate it, but the dynamics are not quite the same. It does not quite work the same. Right. That was my whole point. But I have another radio thing, which is interesting, in my opinion. They did a very similar episode to this, at least the Dennis Day's parents part. I think it was 55 that they did it. But Joseph Kearns plays Dennis Day's father with an Irish accent. Joseph Kearns, of course, does lots of old radio show voices, and he's also Mr. Wilson on the Dennis the Menace TV show.
Yes.
But I do think the actor who plays him on TV here is a better casting choice. I mean, it's one thing in radio, it's another thing on television. This guy, sort of, you can see, oh, that's kind of like Dennis Day. He's skinny and tall and things like that. And right. I was surprised how tall Dennis Day was, you know, compared to Jack Benny. I still imagine him as a little teenager, you know, and he's still doing that same voice and he's still living with his parents. So to see him and he's like, whoa, that was a bit of a shock.
No, agreed. And that piece you were talking about the, where they're saying, where Don's like, I'm only fat because I'm on the show and because you made me into that and that sort of thing. The reason it's hard to ever make it work without Phil is because Phil is the ultimate capper of that whole thing. He's the one that you go, oh no, that's just Phil. But he's like, no, I wouldn't be that. I would not be this drinker. And I used to enjoy drinking milk all the time. And now I, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so it always works. And so there's no capper, or at least it's not as good of a capper as it was in the original radio show with Phil. So I think for fans, that bit's never going to work very well. Certainly I think Phil revisited that when we had him on the roast for Jack Benny that we presented this summer, because he does a great job of talking about how just redoing essentially that bit, just saying how Dennis wouldn't be who Dennis was and Don wouldn't be who Don was and he wouldn't be who he and that when he met Jack, he'd never had a drink of alcohol in his life, and Jack was a person who introduced him to alcohol and the whole thing. That was a great bit. If you haven't watched our Friars Club roast presentation, you should go back and try and catch that, because it's just Dennis does a beautiful job. Phil does a beautiful job. Just seeing Jack laughing at all of these wonderful comedians and everything was just a beautiful thing. George Burns gets one of the biggest laughs, and Johnny Carson talks about how George didn't really do anything. He said like one little statement that was almost a non sequitur, wasn't so much a joke, and Jack just about fell out of his chair. So it just shows how much Jack loves George Burns, and that's something we don't often, we hear stories about it, but to actually see it in real life is just a real treat. Anyway, leave this, but go ahead, John.
Let me just quickly mention a couple of historical things. Tommy Manville was a sort of like a playboy millionaire who had gone through a number of wives. So, you know, he would get divorced and remarried and things like that. And the Argentinian president, Juan Perón, had just been overthrown. He was overthrown in 55. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's where, and his story is sort of in Evita the play, right? Because that's his wife or whatever is that person, and they make the play out of in the movie and so forth. So interesting to watch that and get that perspective. Anyway, fun episode, great episode to watch. Loved it. We all loved it. So enjoy this one, and we'll be back with a filmed episode next time, which is a totally different beast, and we shall talk about that. Anyway, have yourselves a great week, and we'll see you next time.
From Television City in Hollywood, the Jack Benny program with his special guest Dennis Day, presented by Lucky Strike.
Light up a lucky, it's light up time.
Be happy, go lucky, it's light up time.
For the taste that you like, light up a lucky strike.
Relax.
It's light up time.
there's a time and place for everything. And the right time for a Lucky is any time you want to enjoy a great cigarette. And the right place for a Lucky is wherever you happen to be at the time. You'll always enjoy Lucky's because Lucky's taste better. Lucky Strike is made of fine, naturally good-tasting tobacco that's toasted to taste better. Cleaner, fresher, smoother.
And that's why Lucky's taste better, every time.
So make your next pack of cigarettes Lucky Strike. You'll find it's the best-tasting cigarette you ever smoked.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Lucky Strike program. Well, my vacation is over, and I'm now here doing my first show of the season. I must say that I'm really very happy being back on television, particularly this year, because they've found so many, they've made so many new discoveries in makeup, you see. Don't you think I look good? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm wearing living lipstick. Now, in order, I must tell you, in order to get the right musical effect for this joke, I had to put two harps in the orchestra just for this one joke. Now, you'd think that that's simple enough, wouldn't you? But with my musicians who don't know one instrument from another, it nearly started a riot. See, when I brought in the two harps, they thought I was building a fence around them. You know, of course, I could have missed it. If someone hadn't reminded me about the change of time, you know, I would have missed the show entirely. Because today, California goes off the daylight saving time, you see, and instead of being 4:30, now it's 3:30. And I know that an hour difference in time doesn't mean much to most people, but with my kind of 39, every minute counts. You know, another thing I want to tell you, and I hope you won't think I'm bragging about this, but I'm so proud because after being 5 years on television, they have selected, this year they've selected my program to be shown to our armed forces in Tijuana. Of course, they were going to send it further. You see, they were going to send it to Argentina, but I stopped that because I figured if they didn't think Perón was funny, what chance have I got? Well, so much for my monologue. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you a young fellow who's been associated with me on both on radio and television for some time. And here he is, Dennis Day. Dennis, I didn't hear you walk on.
Oh, that's because my applause is louder than yours.
We're not counting applause. Oh. Dennis, I want to ask you something. During every rehearsal, you always made your entrance from that side. Why'd you suddenly decide to come on from this side?
Well, if I came out from over there, I'd have had to step over Don Wilson.
Step over Don Wilson?
He fell asleep during your monologue.
What?
I'm a little drowsy myself.
Dennis, look, this is the start of a new season, mm-hmm. You see? And I don't want to have to go through all your ridiculous remarks and everything, all this trouble. Let's get certain things straightened out for this year, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's get, so we know where we stand. Now you, for instance, you're the singer on the show. Just the singer, right?
Right.
All right. Now who is the announcer?
Don Wilson.
That's right. I just want to get things straightened out. You're the singer, Don Wilson is the announcer. Now then, who is the comedian? Then I said, who is the comedian?
For a question like that, I ought to get 3 books in a week to think it over.
Dennis, look, kid. You know... You know how important it is to me to have a nice, smooth opening show. You know, in 2 minutes, you come out here and aggravate me like
that. Well, gee, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Benny.
That's all right. I forgive you. Are you ready to sing your song?
Yes, Mr. Benny.
Look, that's another thing. You've been with me a long time, and you don't have to be so formal. I mean, from now on, you can call me by my first name.
Okay, what is it?
It's Quincy. Quincy Benny.
And why does everybody call you Jack?
I don't know! Now, look, just sing your song and leave me alone.
Boy, is he getting crotchety.
There's a yellow rose in Texas that I am going to see. Nobody else could miss her, not half as much as me. She cried so when I left her, it like to broke my heart. And if I ever find her, we never more will part. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl for me. La 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 la. Where the Rio Grande is flowing and starry skies are bright, she walks along the river in the quiet summer night. I know that she remembers when we parted long ago. I promise to return and not to leave her so. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl for me. La 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 la. Oh, now I'm going to find her, for my heart is full of woe. We'll do the things together we did so long ago. We'll play the banjo gaily, she'll love me like before. And the yellow rose of Texas shall be mine forevermore. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl for me.
Really wonderful.
Well, thank you, Quincy, you all.
You're not going to make me mad, you know. I mean, when you sing like that, I can't be angry at you.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Mr. Benny, you know, because I wouldn't want you ever to get mad at me. We've been together so long.
We certainly have. How long have you been with me, Dennis?
17 years.
Gosh, 17 years. Doesn't seem possible, you know.
When I first started with you, you only paid me $20 a week.
That's right, Dennis. That's when you first started working with me. Now, tell the audience... when you started to get into the big money.
When I joined the Navy.
Dennis, I know exactly how much you got when you... You know, I was in the Navy myself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Say, were you the one who said, don't give up the ship?
No, Dennis, it was my captain. Now, thanks very, very much. You did your song. Go home.
Okay, Quince.
Sometimes he drives me crazy. You know, many critics have said, often said, that I am a nervous wreck before an opening show. And it's true, I am. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it is not my fault. I mean, I would be perfectly calm if people working with me would just leave me alone. People like Don Wilson and his wife and Dennis and his mother with that voice of hers. I mean, you don't know what I... Well, let me try to explain to you. Yesterday, I want to take you back to yesterday. Now, I was just taking care of last-minute details, and Rochester was busy at home.
Show, and it'll take me 3 hours just to mix his makeup.
Oh, Rochester, you must be kidding. Why does Mr. Benny need so much makeup?
Roy, did you ever hear that song, It's a Long, Long Way from May to December?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's even longer when you're trying to get back.
I see what you mean. Well, I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, so long, Roy. Oh, it's a long, long way from May to December, and the days grow short every September, and the autumn weather, and the leaves turn brown, and you haven't got time for the night.
I was
chasing the tsetse fly.
You were chasing?
Uh-oh, there's the phone.
Been ringing for 2 minutes. I'll get it. Hello?
How do you do? This is your mid-afternoon quiz program. By answering your phone, you have become eligible to win a 2 weeks expense-free vacation in fabulous Las Vegas.
Yeah, I just got here in time.
Now listen closely to the question.
I'm listening.
In what part of the world can be found the Dipterus genus Glossina?
Dipterus genus Glossina?
Or more commonly known as the tsetse fly.
Oh, the tsetse fly. Yeah, the tsetse fly can be found in Beverly Hills.
I'm sorry, but that answer is incorrect.
What?
The tsetse fly can only be found in tropical Africa. Better luck next time.
Rochester.
Uh-huh.
Did you say you were chasing a tsetse fly?
Yes, sir.
Well, for your information, the tsetse fly can only be found in tropical Africa. So when I walked into that door, you were chasing a common housefly.
Boss, well, since the element of chasing has been accepted, the object is immaterial.
Well, for someone who doesn't know a tsetse fly from a housefly, your phrasing is superb.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Boss, wouldn't you like to go up to your room now and take a nap?
No, I don't want to take a nap.
Yeah, but tomorrow's your opening show and you might be a little nervous.
I'm never nervous. Nothing bothers me. I mean, the music is taken care of, the sets and everything. All I have to do is go over to Dennis Day's house and tell him to change his song. Outside of that, I can just wait till tomorrow's show and relax.
Yes, sir.
It's a new book. Love is a many-splendored thing. By Tommy Manville. Oh, I'll get the door. Rochester, fix me a sandwich, will you, please?
Yes.
It was certainly nice of you and your wife to drop in. Were you passing by?
Oh, no, Jack. You see, well, since tomorrow's your opening show, Don and I thought it would be nice to come by and help break the tension.
The tension?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get you to relax a little. Give you more confidence.
Confidence? Don, I couldn't be more confident if I was Rocky Marciano stepping into the ring with Fred Allen. Now that I thought of that, I'd like to arrange that. Now, Don, all you have to do is just don't worry about me. You just take care of your commercials, that's all.
Oh, I know my commercials, Jack. It's all I've been thinking about ever since we started to rehearse.
Yes, that's all that's on his mind. Every morning he comes into the kitchen, takes me in his arms, gives me a great big kiss, then says Lucky's taste better.
No.
Day and night, that's all he talks about. LS, MFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Lucky's are toasted. It's light-up time.
Well, Don, I never realized you were that conscientious.
Conscientious? Jack, yesterday was my birthday. I just want you to see this ring you gave me.
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful gift.
Yeah, but read the inscription.
Oh, okay. To Lois, my adorable wife, from your loving husband, Don, who works for Lucky Strike, the cigarette that is so round and firm and fully packed and free and easy on the draw, period. Oh, that's a lovely gift. Beautiful.
I had it wrapped in a tobacco leaf.
Oh, John, you're cute. You're cute.
As long as we're here, dear, why don't you tell Jack what we were talking about?
Oh, no, no, dear, not now. Jack's nervous enough as it is.
I'm not nervous. Now, tell me, what were you talking about?
Well, Jack, I don't want to interfere with your program, but, well, for years now, you've been making jokes about Don's weight, and, well, as long as you're starting a new season, I don't think it's right to poke fun at a man simply because he happens to be slightly obese.
Slightly obese?
Now, look, dear, don't
you... You shut your big fat mouth. I'll...
You see, Lois? You see, you did it yourself. I mean, now, let's face it. You didn't marry a Peter Pan. Believe me.
Just a minute, Jack. I'm sorry, but I have to take exception to that remark. After all, my being fat is all your fault.
My fault?
For years, I wanted to go on a diet. But I knew if I got thin, it would ruin all your jokes about me on the show, so I stayed the way I am for the good of the show. Do you think I enjoy being fat?
Well, Don, we all have to make sacrifices to get laughs on the show. Take me, for instance. Do you think I like being cheap? Well, I asked you something. Do you think I like being cheap?
Jack, has anybody ever answered that question?
Certainly.
Who?
Kenny Baker, Frank Parker, and Bill Harris.
Nobody asked you. And Don, let me tell you something. I was perfectly calm. I felt fine until you and Lois came in here. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got to go over to Dennis Day's house and see about his song. I was wonderful before.
Do you mind if I eat your sandwich?
No, have it. It's good for the show.
Darling?
Yes?
Oh, what a gentle voice. Well, well, Mr. Benny.
Hello, hello, Mr. Day. How are you?
Fine, fine. Come right in. Come on in. Sit down.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Would you like to have some lemonade?
I don't mind, no.
It's been a long time since I've seen you, Mr.
Yes,
Dave.
It is. Quite a while. I see if Mrs. Day is in.
Okay.
Oh, darling, we have company.
Oh, well, I hope you'll forgive the way that I look. Oh, it's you.
Mrs. Day, I came over to talk to Dennis because on account of the way I've got the show framed, you see, he has selected the wrong song to sing. You see, he picked an Irish song.
And what's wrong with an Irish song?
Nothing. Nothing. I like Irish songs. My mother used to sing them to me all the time. Just that I think the way the show runs, I mean, I think that after I finish telling jokes, I don't think it's right for Dennis to come out and sing Clancy Lowered the Boom.
After you finish your jokes, what difference does it make who lowers it? And another thing, if you think you're going to come over here and pick on my boy, you've got another thing coming.
Now, now, Mama, don't let yourself get all heated up. Now, is you catch a cold when your pores are open?
I didn't come here looking for trouble, and you have no right to upset me.
Well, I don't want you to pick on my boy, Dennis.
Well, I've got a right to pick on him. Been with me for 17 years, he made me a nervous wreck. There isn't a Sunday he doesn't drive me nuts.
Well, what are you complaining about? We've got him the rest of the week.
Well, congratulations. Now, look, if Dennis isn't here, I'll come over and see him later.
Oh, he's home. He's home. Darling, Mr. Benny has business with Dennis. Would you please call him?
Well, all right.
I don't know why I always have...
Dennis! Dennis! Come down here, son.
I just can't understand why you should have trouble all the time with a fellow like this. Dennis, look, if I'd have known it, I mean, I wouldn't have called you out of the pool.
Oh, we don't have a pool. I was in the bathtub.
In the bathtub? Well, why are you wearing that diving mask?
Oh, well, you see, this isn't ordinary glass. I got this out of a telescope.
A telescope?
Yeah, when I look down the drain, I can see clear to the beach.
What?
The bathing suits those girls are wearing this year.
Look, Dennis, when you came out here in this silly outfit and told me you were in a bathtub, this I could believe. But telling me you could look down the drain and see girls in bathing suits is ridiculous.
At your age, yes.
Look, Dennis, take off that silly outfit and sit down. I want to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Give it to me, Dennis. I'll take it out.
Now, sit down. Now, listen, Dennis. We have got to change your song on the show. Because on account of...
Oh, excuse me, I'll get it, Mother. Hello. Who'd you say was calling? The mid-afternoon quiz program? Hey, Mother, it's a quiz program. They say they're going to ask me a question. If I get it right, I'm going to win 2 glorious weeks in fabulous Las Vegas. Okay, shoot me the question. I'm ready.
Dennis, Dennis, the answer is tropical Africa. Tropical Africa.
Are you sure?
And he called me today. It's tropical Africa.
The answer is tropical Africa. Wow. That's the wrong answer.
Dennis, it can't be the wrong answer. It's tropical Africa. Call him back. Call him back.
What was the question, Dennis?
In what country is Toledo, Ohio?
Holy smoke.
So that's why my boy's so stupid. He gets his information from you.
Yeah, and I was going to say Australia.
Oh.
If you let my boy alone, if you leave him alone, but my boy believes knows what he's doing every minute.
Oh, sure, sure.
He does, dear.
Now, listen, Mrs. Day. I've had just about enough. And I'm going to tell you something. I just came here to talk to Dennis about his song. I didn't want any trouble. All I wanted was a nice, smooth opening show. But I never get any cooperation from you. All I get is interference, interference, interference. I'll have you know that I'm a big star.
Ah, shut up!
Light up, Lucky.
It's light up time.
Be happy, go lucky.
It's light up time.
For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike.
Relax.
It's light up time.
Man, that's smoking enjoyment. To come out of a good movie and light up a Lucky. Boy, that's good. Especially when it's a Lucky. Because Lucky's taste better, and for good reasons. First, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And then this fine, good-tasting tobacco is toasted to taste even better. Cleaner, fresher, smoother. That's why when the show lets out, so many folks light up a Lucky Strike.
For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike.
Right now.
Light up a Lucky. It's light up time.
So I just want to announce that Aunt Southern will be back next Sunday, and I'll be back 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight. And I'd like to also announce that a week from next Thursday night, October 6th, that I will appear on the Chrysler Hour, the Shower of Stars, in a play called Time Out for Ginger, a football play, a natural for me. And before leaving, ladies and gentlemen, I know that all of us are hoping for a very, very speedy recovery of our presence.
Appearing on tonight's program are Verna Felton, Lois Corbett, Dick Ryan, Herb Vigran, and Roy Glenn. Remember, 1 week from tonight on this same station, be sure and watch Ann Southern in Private Secretary. Jack Benny's next television show will be in 2 weeks.
Get true tobacco taste in a filter tip cigarette. The easy drawing filter tip Tarryton cigarette. The pearl gray charcoal filter tip cigarette. Smoke filter tip Tarryton.
Take your cue from the red, white, and blue on the package.
Smoke filter tip Tarryton.
Yes, filter tip Tarryton with the activated charcoal filter gives you true tobacco taste. Try filter tip Tarryton.
The Jack Benny Program has been presented by the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes. The Jack Benny Program has been selected for viewing by our armed forces overseas. Portion of this program were recorded.